When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Drew said that we'd win that game. Heck, I said we'd score 45. But we ain't afraid to bask in our shame, and the season is still alive. Purdue just likes to shoot themselves in the foot, which is really frustrating considering when the offense looks good, it looks really good. So welcome to Boiler Up Down South, where we put our money where our collective mouth is.
Welcome to Boiler Up Down South. That was the lovely Garrett Shearman taking us into our episode today with a, Song of Lament.
Yeah, growing up in the South, I always thought it was very fun to make quick, easy country songs because they are quite easy and quite easy to make in terms of lyrics as well. So that song is called, in my Southern accent, The Badgers Kicked Our Butt.
Yeah, and pretty easy game to write a sad country song about if you're a Purdue fan, because, another game where Purdue played all right and lost.
Man, they play so well in like short flashes of excellence, and
then bad.
Something dumb happens that they did to themselves.
Oh, God. Ruins a Friday night, Garrett. It took all Friday night, and then it was sad at the end.
I really didn't want to go this far, but I could have said, I should have been at Cedar Shoals High School here in Athens watching high school football. But no, I mean, I did like what I saw offensively at a lot of points. And that's, again, what is so hard to watch about Purdue this year is just, oh, man, they do so well at certain times. You're doing great, sweetie. Keep it up. And then they shoot themselves in the foot.
Speaking of doing great, sweetie, we're going to take this to commercial break and pay some bills and maybe get a drink of water and return in a few minutes. So, see y'all after the break. Welcome back. Hope y'all stayed with us. Obviously, you did if you're still listening to me. So, congratulations. Garrett, I want to give you a stat. I want you to just, like, forget the Purdue loss 38-17.
Okay.
I'm just going to give you a stat.
A no context.
If you didn't watch this game, and I told you that Tanner Mordecai would go 7-27 for 174 yards and an interception against Purdue, what would you say would have happened?
Well, if it was a different Wisconsin offense, my first... if this was last year, previous year Wisconsin, like... My first initial reaction is, they probably just ran all over us, and that's how they won. Wait, I didn't watch the game. I didn't know who won or lost. Just kidding, I do. But if you had told me in this year, Tanner Mordecai and their new kind of spread offense was going to go 7 for 27, you said?
17 of 27.
174 yards. I'd be like, okay, we limited them offensively very well.
Right, that's...
They scored 38 points.
Right? So, the run game, they just, once again, was the story. It's been the story. We could have recorded this 10 years ago, actually, and y'all wouldn't even know. Like, maybe we did record this 10 years ago, and, we're just editing in names now.
Yeah, man, that Carly Rae Jepsen song is really hot right now.
Oh, my God, is that 10 years ago?
Well, honestly, the Call Me Maybe came out probably like 2011. I digress. She's great. She's great.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Anyways, back to the subject at hand. Whew.
It's hard to stay focused. Sorry.
Yeah. No. So Purdue just could not get out of their own way in the first half. It felt like every time they advanced 20 yards, there was a penalty. They broke off like three or four big plays that just ended up, you know, nothing because of a holding call or just something stupid. And meanwhile, Wisconsin, you know, sort of built that lead while Purdue was shooting themselves in the foot. And, you know, once you're down 21-3 at half, it's a long way back. You got to be pretty much perfect.
Yeah, and I think what frustrated me the most with, as we were saying, big plays being negated by penalties, as has happened multiple times this year, it's like right when Mockaby started to get hot and he started to like get rhythm and the offensive line looked like they were doing their thing. Ryan Walter said in the press conference today, he said, you know, we feel like right now we're good at figuring out what types of schemes our offensive line is good at. Because obviously this is not a high-level elite offensive line. They're serviceable in very, very many areas, but this is not an elite offensive line. And then Mockaby starts to get hot, and he breaks off the big, long run, and then, boom, another hold on Grant. I hate to single out individual children who are, you know, probably 7 years younger than I am, but something has to be cleaned up. I don't think that's anything outside the obvious. I mean, speaking of the press conference, even Ryan Walters said the exact same phrase, like, we need to clean that up. But right when Mockaby started to get going, and right when the interior line looked like they were capable of moving people backward and creating holes, just a big penalty. And it's, again, we use this phrase all the time, but it's shoot yourself in the foot disease.
Yeah, so no, it was interesting what they sort of went to in the run game that worked really well. And you saw Tyrone Tracy really sort of take over as the lead back. They went to more of a wider splits like the old Texas Tech teams under Mike Leach, where the linemen are further apart. And then they just go sideways, and it's just like zone blocking sideways, and the running back just picks a hole and turns it up and goes. And that's what Tracy is good at. He had a really good game. 8 carries, 84 yards.
I think he's the hottest hand on the offense right now.
Yeah, I mean, this dude might be, I could see him making himself some money this year with the way he's playing, his ability to both run the ball and play some receiver, return kicks. You know, so good for him. I think he's definitely putting his name out there in terms of, you know, players to watch in the Big Ten, despite the Boilermakers' overall struggles. The defense, again, just, man, the run. Braden Allen, 16 carries, is almost exactly like last year. Said 16 carries, 116 yards, averaged 7.2 yards a carry and two touchdowns. And then the quarterback run got us again for another two touchdowns. Everything else, like I said, the receiving looks fine, or the defensive backs look fine in this game. You know, they gave up a couple big plays, but you're always going to give up a couple of big plays in any sort of game. Just could not stop the run, and that's tough when you're playing a five-man front and not being able to stop the run. That's you're dedicating a lot of resources to the front line, and if you're getting beat there,
and if it's inefficient, then why are you dedicating so?
Yeah, you're getting beat there. It's tough to come back from, because once they break that five-man front, you know, you've got one linebacker and then a bunch of safeties looking at you. I think Purdue's defensive line has to be better at getting into the backfield, getting him down. Granted, Braylon Allen is a monster. Like he's bigger than our linebackers, I think. And so that was not helpful. And he's also faster, I think, which...
It's a pretty killer combination.
Yeah, just all around better, I feel like, was the main issue, is that he was just better than we were, and that was hard to overcome. Tanner Mordecai, too, man, 14 carries, 44 yards. Like I said, another two touchdowns is Purdue's just hemorrhaging touchdowns to quarterbacks. Like, oh, my God, I feel like I want to go see if I can play for Illinois because I think I might be able to score a touchdown.
Well, if you never played for Clemson, then I guess you still do technically have eligibility.
I don't think so. Oh, God.
I don't think your knees have eligibility,
no,
buddy.
No. Oh, I slept wrong on my, like, shoulder and, like, oh, it hurts. So, yeah, but anyways, but man, shout out to Ches Malusi, Wisconsin's back. That was nasty, dude. Oh, gross.
Yeah, poor dude.
Oh, man. He's had problems his whole career with sort of knee injuries, but just to get that sort of freaky accident there is his fifth year is oof. Especially in a game like that, though, where it was pretty under control when he went down. But anyways.
Also, we have to mention Garrett Miller as well because...
also gruesome.
Yeah, Drew and I were watching in the same room, and we just both said almost simultaneously, he just broke the H-E double hockey sticks out of that finger.
Yeah, that was...
But he probably won't be out like that long. It looked not as gruesome as like... It's one you pop back into place if you've played enough sports, I guess.
I think that he was back in the game later on. I think he had one fly through his hands, actually, probably because his finger was pointed in a weird angle beforehand.
It doesn't bend that way.
Yeah, no, that was one of those where you sort of look at it and go, oh, God, oh. I've seen that happen to a few of my digits before, and... I think looking at it may be the worst part of the whole deal.
Yeah, I mean, you look down and, I've been there.
Yeah. So anyways...
What did you like on defense, though? Because I will say the one thing I liked is that 2 weeks in a row, even if they were both losses, they were both hardcore effort interceptions on defense, like where they just wrestled it away from a receiver.
Yeah.
The coverage has come along a little bit better than I thought it was going to after the week one loss. Against Fresno State. So if there's one, I like how the secondary is coming along. That's the frustrating part. I like how everything's quote unquote coming along. But like, dude, the secondary doesn't give up. This team doesn't give up because they're a second half team, obviously, as we've seen. So like, you know,
or at least a third quarter team.
Third quarter
maybe
team.
Maybe we just need to do like if we're only gonna play well for one quarter. I feel like we really need to maybe. Put more effort into scoring a lot in that quarter because, like, maybe go onside kick. I don't know. Like, maybe score one touchdown because the problem is Purdue just can't sustain the attack because, like you said, they look, like, brilliant. At times in the third quarter, man, that offense was moving and then it just died.
Well, if your defense is on the field for that proportion of the game, like, they're going to be tired at some point. I don't care who you're playing. They're going to be tired at some point. If it's Hawaii, if it's Alabama, well, I guess Alabama's not a good excuse to use now, but so let me just go ahead and say, if you're playing Georgia, sorry, everybody.
Like Georgia only plays for one quarter, too, here.
Yeah, dude, the 2023 Georgia Bulldogs are a heck of a drug because, you know, they make teams look competent for a little bit, and then they're like, nah, just kidding, we're Georgia. Yeah. Anyway, so from Purdue's defense, again, I like the development I am seeing. That being said, when they're on the field all the game, they're going to be gassed, man. At some point, they're going to be gassed.
Yeah, that first half really just sort of sapped probably just some legs there by in the fourth quarter, definitely on defense. Although, I think you mentioned we've got, like, the coolest cornerback name who got the interception, Boutros Alessandro. I think that's right. Is that right? That sounded so, like...
Hey, if you mispronounce something, it means you read it.
Yeah, I was reading it.
Which lots of people don't read.
Anyways, that was a good pick. He's been playing better. He got burned in the first game. He was on the receiving end of that first touchdown where he sort of bit up on a corner route and Fresno walked in. And I feel like he has definitely been one of those players. The JUCO guy came in late. Who has sort of settled into the secondary and has been making some plays. You know, still working on some stuff, but like you said, overall, I feel like I didn't feel like Wisconsin was able to pick Purdue apart through the air, like we saw Fresno State do, and you know, so that's progress. Of course, you don't have to do that when you're just grinding them into the dirt.
Yeah, it'd be really, really cool if we could do that. But
I mean, I guess like the super easiest play in football, I think, is just handing it to your running back and letting him just stampede his way through a defense.
If 4 yards at a time times three is correct, you keep getting first downs.
Yeah, no. So, it's sort of back to the drawing board, sort of moving forward. Instead, I think we need more of this defensive line, these outside linebackers, both in the pass rush, getting into the backfield in the run game, getting some tackles for loss, getting some guys on the ground, not just sort of touching them and then letting them run on by. Garrett, if you could have changed one thing in that game and it would have tilted it Purdue's way, what would that have been?
Well, I mean, it's kind of simple, but like I've been talking about, if you're reading Hammer and Rails, I've been talking about like the pace of the offense, and like when things get going and they make defenses even look silly. It's not just like, oh wow, Purdue's like kind of good. It's like they make defenses look silly at times when they're doing things really right. And if there's one thing I could change, again, it's quite simple, but if you score on the first drive and you show that you have the momentum necessary that you can potentially sustain, keep that train going down the track, have to do a train on the tracks reference at least once every few weeks. Whoop, whoop. But like, man, I really want to see Purdue come out in the first half and just hit somebody in the mouth on their first drive. I want to see them march down the field, even if it's a 10-minute drive, or if it's like a four play 76-yard drive or some with two ridiculous passes or something. I just want to see them come out and hit somebody in the mouth immediately. And then maybe they can find some sort of momentum, because I used to be a person who thought like, oh, the concept of momentum in a football game is a little bit silly. Either you're playing well or you're not. But I'm like, dude, if you start off a home game at night with a score, it's different than the alternative.
And I'll say this, man, the Purdue crowd is looking for something to cheer about. And
Dude, they were packed in, man. Shout out to them. Yeah, shout out to them.
They kept the faith on Friday night.
And they stayed late.
Yeah, I mean, maybe nothing else was going on in West Lafayette. I don't know. But, yeah, they were there showing the crowd shots in the third quarter when Purdue started coming back, and it still looked packed. So, you know, I hope that continues,
I'm just glad that everybody kind of has tempered expectations for a first-year head coach. I mean, not everybody, but it seems to be that Purdue Nation in general is, like, still wanting to root for their team, which is what I hope of all fans of all teams, regardless of who somebody roots for.
I don't know. I hope nobody roots for Auburn.
Me too. I was a freshman at Georgia in their miracle play years when they got one against us, and then, of course, the kick six and... I don't, in the words of Early Kyler, I don't particularly care for Auburn.
I do not care for Auburn one bit. Nick Fairley injured the Clemson quarterback.
He did a dirty shot on our quarterback, Aaron Murray, as well. And also their head coach is a terrible human being. So this is now an Auburn hatred.
Okay, wait, no, back. We're talking about Purdue. Because, they lost to Wisconsin, dude. 38-17. Again, and we missed our predictions. I predicted the Purdue victory.
He predicted a close win. I predicted a close win with a lot more points than Purdue scored.
Yeah, and what's terrible is it doesn't feel like Purdue was super far off of scoring 40 points.
Because when their offense is doing the things with Tracy and they spread it around the field and Hudson Card rolls out and he can find somebody open when their offensive line does the job, and I'm just so frustrated. Sorry.
Yeah, but hey, let's talk about some more positives. Deion Burks got back in the action after a couple quiet games, 6 receptions, 73 yards. I really feel like Graham Harrell went out of his way to sort of try to make him more of the center point of the offense, moved him around some, found some matchups, and really went back to him. And man, that guy, he's not very big, but he's a playmaker.
Wide receiving core looks really good with a couple of smaller, shiftier guys for sure.
And then Yassine, right? Yassine's sort of playing the role of the sort of big outside receiver in another four receptions. 62 yards, 15 and a half. I mean, he catches it and falls down, but like it's 15 yards down the field, and that's good for us.
Yeah, right. I'd rather somebody catch it and fall down than churn out extra yards and get hit by somebody who weighs 60 more pounds than they do and cough up the ball.
That's true. Oh, fumbles. We didn't fumble it as many times this game.
Yeah, Ryan Walters even mentioned that they worked really hard on cleaning up ball security issues in practice, so that was good to see.
Very good. Not that's improvement. We're improving. We're shooting for that. Not as many fumbles.
Finding new and creative ways to avoid taking that shotgun barrel to your foot.
Right. Okay. And then Hudson Card, those two interceptions. That first interception was bougie. I didn't like it. I thought that was pass interference on Wisconsin.
Yeah, the one at the end of the half. Yeah. I mean, it didn't really matter.
I would like to see his receiver fight a little harder with the defensive back. Honestly, if they're gonna say they're both playing the ball, but still, I thought that was bogey. It's not, that wasn't Card's fault anyway. No. Sort of a Hail Mary. That second one, oh man, if you go back and look at the tape, it was just I can't tell who made the wrong read. It was probably neither of them made the wrong read. They just made a different read. And instead, Hudson Card threw, it looked like maybe the corner route, and the receiver may have run into the post. That's why it was such a wide open, flutter, as he tried to anticipate that throw. And he either guessed wrong or the receiver ran wrong. I don't know. But that was just one of those. It's not even necessarily that he was throwing into coverage. It was just the guy that he was throwing to didn't go where he was supposed to go.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, you always have to worry about communication issues. I mean, on both sides of the ball, but communication issues on the offense with first-year head coach, new offensive coordinator, basically totally renovated staff, and a lot of transfer players in, and guys switching positions. Those things are going to happen, and it sucks, but they're going to. That said, I mean, I was joking earlier, but I mean, if Purdue can continue to find ways to stop self-sabotaging, like cleaning up ball security, next thing on my list would please be no more just touchdown negating penalties, holding calls specifically.
Right, it's like really hard to get into the end zone. Like maybe like we should make them count. Like when we do that, we should make that count for 6 points instead of like a loss of 15 yards or 10 yards. So
participation points for getting to the red zone.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of work. Like, you run so hard to get into the end zone, and then you just have to sort of take that sad walk back to, like, the 35.
Yeah. Well, again, dude, though, new coaching staff, new transfer quarterback as well. These things are going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's what I keep saying. Maybe it's out of just stupid optimism, but maybe it's out of I do know some things about how football is played, and I really do think over the course of this season, this team is going to go on a winning streak at some point and look quite decent and look like they're a team that can win a bowl game. Even if that's like one of the lower level bowl games, we're kind of at that point already, unfortunately, where that's the hope. But I think this team is capable of just making things click, going on a winning streak. It's going to happen eventually. And if it doesn't happen this year, like, don't give up on Ryan Walters. He's doing a good job, and I can tell you that just from seeing years and years at different schools of coaching changes and the adaptations that are necessary with coaching changes, personnel changes of any level. Don't give up on this team.
Yeah, tell them about the first year, Kirby's first year. Tell them.
That was my senior year of college, and we opened. I was at the Georgia Dome, rest in peace, as they were building Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We started off the year with a win, great, against North Carolina in the Georgia Dome. That was the Mitch Trubisky year. And yeah, UNC's soft as I'm gonna censor myself. And Kirby went, I think, 7-5. No, 8-4. And then I think we lost the bowl game, so 8-5. And Kirby Smart just won 2 national championships.
Yeah, see, so what we're saying is Ryan Walters is definitely going to build an incredible juggernaut of unstoppable players and just put out, like, entire NFL defenses year after.
Stranger things have happened. But no,
maybe.
I love Ryan Walters as a guy with, honestly, like, a 10-2, 11-1 ceiling. And as somebody who's been familiar with Purdue football but hasn't started covering it until the past year or so, I mean, I grew up thinking of Purdue, especially in those early 2000s, as like a constantly 9-3 team. And that's great. Dude, I was happy when Georgia was going 9-3 in some of our injury-plagued years, and then when we had... Georgia was the worst 10-win football team of all time under Brian Schottenheimer the year Mark Richt got fired in 2015. This... And quote me on that. Georgia is the worst 10-win team of all time in 2015. These things take time, guys. Purdue will be in that double-digit win bracket very soon. Ryan Walters knows what he's doing. He's been around the block. He's coached everywhere. And there's a reason why he's 37. He's born in 85, yeah? So 37 or 38 years old. I don't know what his birthday is. There's a reason why he's a head coach at 37.
Y'all, Garrett's getting down like a Pentecostal preacher in here. He's stomping around.
You're going to feel the train.
Yeah.
He's coming down that track.
Whew, all right. So anyways, there's Garrett. Garrett going full in on Ryan Walters. Ryan, if you're listening, that's Garrett Shearman. You know, he's available. He might write some songs for you.
I used to live in Boulder County. You did too.
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about that. Anyways, the Boilermakers moving on this week into the Ryan Walters Bowl. Is it true that if Illinois wins, Ryan Walters has to go coach their defense for the rest of the season?
I don't think tradesies work like that.
No, I thought that's not how that works. Okay, so
never mind. What I just said about him, I'm glad it doesn't.
Yeah, so...
And if that were to happen.
Well, I was going to discuss that at the end, so I don't even know what to say now. So I guess we're not playing for Ryan Walters against Illinois, but kind of we are really for him, because I think it would be nice if he were to beat Bert Bielma? Brett?
Yeah, no, those memes were great. Man, I don't think this is like, again, I don't think any game this season is like a make or break for him. But I think this is setting up the stage, because I'm a theatrical person. It sets up the stage for a perfect, like, first big win at home. It's your second conference game. You lost your first conference game. It would be very poetic. It'd be very awesome. I think it happens, but... every time I predicted Purdue to win this year, I was incorrect.
Alright, hold on, Garrett. We can't give too much away, because we're going to have to go do the prediction show coming up on, what's that, Friday? I think we will be out on Friday. So, we gotta keep them wanting more. It's, you know...
What, the country songs don't keep them coming back? Man, what else can I do?
So anyways, I think we're just going to go ahead and wrap it up. We're going to be back talking about this impending Illinois game. You know, Garrett's going to sing another song for you, maybe. You know, he is a professional musician.
Last thing I have to say, just remember, everybody, Purdue is going to be pretty dang good again.
Garrett's a very confident man with a very nice mustache. And on that, we will say good night, or good afternoon, good morning. Wherever y'all are.
Whenever you're listening.
Y'all come back now.
You hear?